Hello!
Hello!
Down the foxhole!
You're in the foxhole! That was good.
That was a really good harmony, I think.
That was really good. And we're done here. You guys, we're back!
We're back with Rachel!
Rachie's back!
Hi, everyone.
This long-anticipated return of Rachel, Shimon, has finally arrived to talk about more things about wine.
Spring.
Spring
wine.
Beauty. So, yeah. There's obviously some changes happening, hopefully eventually, in the weather, which should maybe trigger some beauty changes for all of us.
Yeah.
But most importantly, some wine changes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty jazzed to talk about these.
Also, Rachel, tell us about where you started working.
So
your side hustle.
I'm doing a side hustle at Gran Cata, which is a Latin American wine shop in Shaw. For you guys who don't live in D.C., that's an area of D.C., and we focus on Latin American wines, but have old world stuff, liquors, beer, everything. It's been very educational, and I love it, and the people who work there are great. So I'm
learning about wine. Yeah, what are we drinking right now? Because this is so good.
So the wine we're drinking now is one of the styles I was going to mention for spring because it is like really fresh, light, rustic, but it is from Chile and it's called Pepino, which is the style of making wine, not the grape.
We can get onto that later.
Yeah, but it's, they tend, and this is a natural wine as well. So it tends to be like fruity, but funky and light and super drinkable. And we have
what
a few
does natural
versions.
Wine mean?
Well, that's a whole nother conversation, but it's basically defined by the producer. It's sort of one of those terms that can be interpreted differently depending on the winemaker. But usually it means there's little intervention in the winemaking to have the truest expression of the grape.
Ah, okay.
So they won't introduce too many...
you just sounded like a yoga teacher.
Yeast, or they will keep the fermentation as natural as possible. That
got it.
Too much happening there. And there's like some will stick to like a, kind of like a set of rules. But with for us as consumers, the wines that are natural end up tasting sometimes more tart depending on the grape. Definitely typically have like a little more funky smell to it, and the fruit can be a little more subdued. That's what I've picked up so far in the natural wines. We definitely carry a lot of them at the store, and I can tell you that everyone in the food and beverage industry that comes in always goes for them. They really just like that light, easy drinking, but has this like very interesting characteristic, and it's just super popular right now.
Yeah, I feel like we were talking about natural wines earlier today.
I have a question.
Okay.
What?
Oh my god.
Jesus. Is all organic wine natural? And is all natural wine organic?
I believe the answer is no in both those cases.
Okay.
Because organic has a whole set of legitimate rules around it, which is
right.
The grape so, itself. It's so like the grape itself is organic,
right.
And anything that's treated with is organic. So much like produce that we
right.
buy, it has. If it says it's organic, it actually has some rules
gotcha.
Determined by the country. Natural doesn't have those rules around it. Same way as like if you were buying like I don't know like a natural chicken breast or something, you don't really know what that means. It's not
right.
a real term. It's
not,
FDA not
a designation.
Like that.
It's kind of same as beauty too. Natural is like one of those vague
yes,
terms.
Yeah, it's a really
that
good
yeah.
parallel.
Good segue. It's like you host a podcast
or something. Okay, we're going to do something like a little bit different today. We're going to do a random question generator and answer.
But
it.
You know the question. Are you going to
no,
do it now?
No, I'm going to hit it now because
okay.
then it's like not
it's
fair.
It's exciting. It's like I'm on prices, right?
We'll do three. Let's
yeah,
do three.
Yeah, this is not fun.
Let's do three. Do you shower in the morning or evening?
Evening, says Aaron.
Evening, says Rachel.
I do both. It really depends.
Not like in the
not
same
the
day.
Same
no,
day.
No.
We all know you.
No, not
like you're straight
same.
Lying right
if
now.
If I have to shower in the morning and the night in the same day, that's a bad day for me.
Does it get night where you are?
But like most of the time it's like afternoon, evening, but this morning I showered.
In the
morning.
I take afternoon showers.
Sometimes I do.
That's
awesome.
That is nice.
Next one. Ooh, this is a good one. I don't even... Does that even make sense?
Would you rather be the smartest moron or the dumbest genius? For sure. For sure.
The dumbest genius.
Yeah.
But don't you think being a smart idiot would be kind of fun?
You'd probably be a awkward. You know how some
That's
geniuses
a weird one.
Are real
because yeah. both of those are like oxymorons.
But like a dumb genius is like a smart person. A regular smart person.
That's what we choose.
You didn't choose that. Casey.
What?
Which one did you pick?
I don't like the question.
You don't get to not like the question.
I think I would
you rather?
I think I would rather be like a smart moron and have fun than be a weird
Why do
genius.
Smart people not have fun?
But he's the smartest moron.
But geniuses are inherently smart.
Yeah, but I'd rather. But it, to me, dumbest genius sounds like a recluse nerd.
All right, you live your life. I live mine.
No, we're all drawing some of them then.
Yeah.
Pepper,
get out of there.
You need a little
Pepper,
shit.
Come on.
Pepper.
Thank you.
Doggy dog. Okay. Do you sing out loud when no one is around?
Yeah.
I mean, I sing.
We
in
know that Casey.
Yeah, I sing in public to my dogs.
But like, do dogs count as people?
Well, no. Do you sing out loud when no one else is around?
But like, are dogs?
Oh,
both?
Like, do dogs count? I don't know.
I sing out loud when other people are around.
Yeah,
even
same.
In my office where no one wants to hear it, and a good song comes on, like the collective speaker.
Yeah.
Like 90s hip hop dance. I will sing them out loud.
Yeah.
To show that I know all the words.
I'm fine.
I just can't hide it. No, oh, that's a weird one. Oh, this is a great question, and then we'll get up to wine.
We can just do this for an hour.
What? I'm gonna change a little bit. What is the movie you have rewatched the most amount of times?
Ooh, that's hard. Like, I know. In my life, by just the numbers, probably Little Mermaid. But as, like, because probably, like, 15 times a day as a child. But, like, as life has gone on.
Speaking of singing, I can sing every song from that movie.
1,000%.
We'll do that after this.
Gingers only have one Disney Alliance. So, there's that.
You should change that.
No. Ariel for life.
Yeah, Ariel's
Prince
pretty
Eric, dream boat.
But I didn't like, none of the blonde.
She gave up her voice. Really.
None of the blonde Disney princesses were ever my favorite. Pocahontas was my favorite.
Duh. Colors of the Wind. Duh. She was my second favorite, but, like, Ginger's forever. But, like, actually, Top Gun is probably, like, my most watched.
Really?
Mine's definitely Dirty Dancing.
That's such a goodie. That's up
I think mine is probably Just Friends, because it's literally...
Stupid deck!
I think I can...
Chris!
Almost... cite that movie per line.
That movie's so good.
I also recently started listening to Anna Faris's podcast, and it's so good, and she's so funny.
Did she talk about her?
Do you podcast?
No. Not on the episodes that I've listened to so far.
Okay.
This
was fun. I like this game.
I know. All right. One time.
I love Christmas.
Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You. Or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Well, I also, what's that Sweet Home Alabama? Just because it's always
so
on
good
TV.
Too. I
Literally
know.
Always
and
on TV.
And the guy
TV.
Looks like Matthew McConaughey, but it's not him.
I actually think he's better looking than Matthew McConaughey.
Agreed.
Damn.
Rachel disagrees.
No, like, he's been in a lot of things since then, and I always think he's still very good looking.
Yeah.
You guys, my ultimate crush though of all time is Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
So we were like
an earlier podcast.
We were not sober this weekend in Colorado. We were actually in Chicago.
That's how not sober you were.
In Illinois. And we got back to the hotel. I'm like, Chris, you have to put on Armageddon.
Put on the Batman suit.
No, just put on Armageddon.
It's just like, no.
That's your life. My life is put on the actual Ben Affleck movie. And I made it through, like, the next morning. I woke up and I got through 8 minutes.
That face wasn't like, I'm disgusted by, like, Batman porn. It was more like, he's the worst Batman that existed.
But he's the best man.
Like, surely that can't be what you want from him.
He's the best regular
he's
man.
Perfect. Just, like, look at him. Even when he's, like, fat, drug addict, alcoholic Ben Affleck, I'd still do him.
Yeah, man.
It's just true. Anyway.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So tell us more about this pepeño. Am I saying
that
right?
That is now empty.
That is now empty.
So the pepeños have a really interesting story because they use a grape called país, which is actually the word for country. But the grape is actually the first one that was brought over from Spain to Chile in like the 1500s by the first Spanish settlers. So it's the grape that's been in the country the longest.
The grape of the country.
Yeah, so exactly, grape of the country. So it used to be like used more of like a table wine and sort of like mass produced, and it really wasn't doing anything like special with it. It was just like there in bulk. And then a few producers came in and realized like, hey, we can do something more special with this. And made this like really delicious light wine. That's not me, that's Pepper.
My puppy is currently like murdering.
Sorry,
a
she's
toy.
Just going crazy.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Everyone. That's a lot happening over here right now.
Wait, so I have a question about so like is it because the vines are so old? Like, doesn't that normally contribute to like quality of wine?
You'll hear people sort of brag about old vine grapes. And the interesting thing about Chile, now that we're talking about it, is that it wasn't affected by phylloxera like most of the world, which was sort of like a bacteria that affected the vines all across Europe that like U.S. actually brought over there, and it was just like a whole thing, right? But Chile, because it was so like hard to get to at that point in time, like, wasn't affected, so they actually have a lot of old vines. They also have a ton of microclimates, which just makes for really interesting and different wines from all the different regions. So if you like, you know, it's long and narrow, it has the Andes, it's right on the coast, it also has this really like cool climate coming in from the south, so or from the north rather, so it there's just a lot of variety in the country. Which is something I learned from working at the store, is that like I didn't really drink that much from there, and now that I'm trying them, they're like exceptional wines for pretty good prices. So pepeño is definitely one of the ones I'd suggest for spring because it's really good lightly chilled. We like a lightly chilled red.
It was very good with pizza, you guys, if that helps.
Yeah, it was super, so good. Super delicious. And then the another two reds actually that I think work well chilled as well or on their own are from Italy. Southern Italy, to be specific, and one is has a long name, Nerello Mascalese, which I think I suggested to Aaron to get at a dinner recently.
Yeah.
And then Frappato, which you've probably heard, it's a little more common. But both are light-bodied reds. The Nerello is gonna have like fruity, floral aromas, and it comes from volcanic soil, so you're gonna get that like earth, some mineral.
That sounds
really
good.
Delicious. And then the Frappato has a little more like candied fruit and like spices. So they have different flavors. They're similar in body. The Frappato actually is often blended with Nera d'Avola. Those are from the same area. You can find really great wineries up there that do that. Oca Pinci is one of them. You'll see like a lot of restaurant lists.
That's what we have, right?
You did?
Yeah. Or we talked about it at least.
Maybe we talked about it. I don't remember.
I think it was from Oca Pinci.
We could have had it because it's definitely like it's available a lot in the DC area. But it's delicious.
It's just
so
like
if
the
you have a chance. Yeah, if you have a chance. And that's a female wine producer, so that's awesome. And then I would say the other thing I'm looking forward to when it gets warmer out are what a lot of people talk about are orange wines or skin contact wines. And I feel like the term orange wine is like fading a little because it's deceiving. People don't realize that like any white wine grape can be an orange wine because all it means is that like it, instead of having no skin at all, it has like a little bit of skin contact, which will give it some tannin. They'll give it a different flavor because the skin's in part of flavor. Especially like is it oaked at all?
And that's what gives it like an orangey color too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference between, just for the record, between rosé and orange wine?
So these orange wines are white, like grapes that you use for white wine that have like a little bit of skin contact. Rosé are grapes that you normally use for red wine. They do less skin contact than normal, right?
Because
red wine gets its color from leaving the skins on.
Yeah.
So you do like just a little bit, and that ranges greatly, right? For both, because you've seen super, super light rosés and super dark rosés.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And they'll taste different because of it.
I got you.
So a lot of these like orange wines are also natural, like we were talking about earlier. And so they have this sort of like funky, like cidery, sort of bitter taste going on. But they're also like really complex. And at first I kind of swore off orange wines because I thought they were like super acidic and just didn't love them. But then once I tried a few others, I realized like they have this like nice acid from the white, but then they also have these like flavors that you don't always get in white wine. So it's like kind of like a happy medium.
Yeah, I've only had it once before.
They
in New York
really can range so greatly. It's basically like
it was like cognac, any white grape a little bit.
Any
it was like
white grape can make it. So like, imagine that range, right? Like how different like a Chardonnay tastes from a Sauvignon Blanc. Imagine if you had an orange wine from either of those grapes, it would be so different.
Yeah.
So I think the rule is there. We just have to, like, try.
Do you have any, like, favorites that you've had? Or, like, regions or grapes?
I can't say I have too many favorites because my exposure to them have been limited. Mm. And I think part of that is because, like, it's been winter.
Yeah.
And as it actually gets warmer out, like, my store will carry a lot more. Mm. Restaurants will have a lot more. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're sort of cold, like, white. So you'll just start seeing them. I really think they're going to, like, be the new rosé of some cities, and particularly D.C., because D.C. was such a big rosé city, as we all know. I think it's going to be, like, equivalent this summer. So we'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
Sweet.
What about rosés? Do we start drinking rosés yet or not?
Yes. Let's talk about transitional.
You could really drink those whenever. I know it's a delicious summer drink, but, like...
It's, like, my favorite summer drink.
Maybe restaurants don't have it as much, but, like, you can get a rosé whenever you feel like it, and I feel like you should.
They go
with every type of food.
I had a Grenache, like a 100% Grenache rosé when I was in Santa Barbara, and it was amazing.
Mm.
It was so good.
Did you buy any?
I did, but I drank it all.
You're not sharing with this group tonight.
I drank it all while Richard was on his phone calls for, like, an hour.
Okay.
But my favorite rosé I've ever had is Villa Wolf Pinot Noir Rosé.
I like Pinot Noir.
2014.
Told me about this.
It literally is impossible to find it anymore. When I ordered it last time, I ordered it from, not Vivino, Drizzly. Is that the delivery app?
The on-demand one, yeah.
No, I can't remember that. But they delivered the 2015, and it was terrible.
How dare they?
It was just not, like, it was not dreamy.
No, and the listeners, like, I'm making a joke, but the truth is, like, depending on the region, the vintage can make a big difference or cannot make a big difference.
That's some will have, like, weather.
5 or 6 years where they had a great year and everything was fine and everything tastes similar, and some will have, like, hailstorms or, you know, take, for example, the fires that just happened in California, which were horrible, and I'm so glad they're recovering. But we should expect that those vineyards have a smoky essence to their grapes. And, like, I'm not making a joke about it. They really will. Because if they try to salvage it, it really will.
Right.
That's the vineyard. And you know what? They might actually be amazing. We don't know.
Right.
But you have to remember that, like, things like that happen.
Yeah.
So 2014 and 15 can be completely different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so good. I'll try to link to it. But I also, Rachie also introduced us to a really good rosé with, like, a lot of salinity. Which, like, you know, I love salt. So anytime...
You'll get that from, like, Greece, Provence, and
France.
Yeah. I like salinity and rosé.
And I always look for, like, a Provence rosé. Mm.
If you like salinity, like, Greece in general...
Oh, really?
You should just do their whites, their rosés. They just have a lot of that minerally salinity quality to them. Think of where they are, like, in, like, the middle of the... ocean that way, but
I'm like gonna buy that on my way home. Greek rosé. I had, but I the one time I did go to Greece, we had rosé and it was amazing. I do remember that.
Let's talk prices, because what I love about springtime is rosés. Generally, you can get really good rosés for like cheap, and I find it's hard to find, like, you know, I like Napa Cabs and I like Willamette Valley. Am I saying it wrong?
Willamette.
Yeah.
Pinot Noirs. And, like, they're just so fucking expensive.
Mm. Yeah.
Where, like, I don't know. Spring for me is, like, budget cuts and
spring cleaning.
Delightful
spring cleaning everywhere.
Well, I think any grape you can find an affordable bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Some regions are... priced more than others. So, like, we know that Napa cabs are expensive. We know even Pinots from mm-hmm. California are going to be pretty expensive.
Right.
But you can get both those things elsewhere for a pretty high quality
right.
and a much lower price point. For example, like, take cab for instance. Chile and Argentina both have lots of cab, Chile especially. And we have ones in the store now that, like, my managers say, like, drink like a Napa cab, and they're, like, $20.
Yeah.
Like, they're that complex. They have light, lighter.
That's what I need.
They, like, taste different on the – they smell different on the nose, right. and they taste in the palate, and the aftertaste, which is something that you find in Napa cabs. So things like that, like, I think it's just a matter of knowing you can find them.
Yeah.
With rosés, I would say, like, do exactly what you're doing. If you know you like ones with, like, salinity, look at the regions that specialize in that.
Right.
And then try the lower price bottles from there, because you might be like, hey, like, this is actually exactly what I wanted at, like, a $10 rate or a $15 rate or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, like,
experimenting.
Who's carrying it in DC? What restaurants have it?
Right.
Honestly, the best thing to do is to go to a wine shop and buy it, so you're getting it at, like, a lower price than a restaurant. So if you try it and you don't, like, love it,
right?
It wasn't, like, that big of an investment. But I think you could definitely find it in rosés. The thing with the rosé and why I used to not like it is because it was so mass-produced to, like, feed the masses, because we had such, like, a, oh, my God, everyone loves rosé, we're going to, like, get it to everyone.
Yeah.
That cheap, poorly made rosé was out there, and it, like, colored my version of it.
Yeah.
But then I tasted ones from, like, Provence.
Right.
I tasted ones from Greece. I tasted ones from Spain. Literally everywhere, all different price points that I liked, like, a lot. So I'm like, okay, this was just, like, I was getting ones from certain regions that were just trying to, like, fill a void of people who always love it. It's not like, it's like any other grape. There's so many grapes that make it. There's so many regions that do it. Americans love it. So there's a lot that's being sent here.
Yeah. Plus, I feel like I have, like, I can't think of any bottle from, like, Provence rosé that I have.
A battery. Don't worry.
Oh, Pepper, you ate a battery. That'll cost mom like $3,000. Did you know that?
I hope she didn't actually ingest one. I don't know where she got it.
I don't think she would have ingested one.
Anyway, back to Provence.
Hard. Puppies are hard. Let's go to Provence.
Normally during these podcasts, they just sleep, and Pepper's like on a mission right now to just fuck shit up. Look at her.
She's just, like, scaling the couch. She scaled me earlier. Okay, wait, Rachel. So with the Italian reds that you told us about for spring, what would you pair those with food-wise?
Oh, my gosh. Well, a lot, like, much like the one we're drinking tonight, they go with a lot of things. They can go with hard and soft cheeses. They can go with cured meats. They can go with cooked meats. A lot of these, like, rustic, fruity, or lighter reds, I feel like are almost like rosés, where they complement a lot of things. It just depends on, like, what you're picking up from the wine. Like, if you're picking up, like, super olivey notes or something, you might think it pairs with something better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty personal. But
which one's best with pizza?
I mean, you know, we always talk about, like, Sangiovese is great with pizza. And these are almost like light, like Sangiovese light.
Yeah, they're so good.
Slightly different root characteristics, but these are like super drinkable to me. Like, you can even drink them on your own, even though we're supposed to pair wine with food. I think they go with really any fare. You can even have these with fish, because they are, like, light and not too dominating.
Yeah, definitely light enough.
And they probably just wouldn't be great with, like, a steak, right? Like, if you're thinking of, like, big, bold flavors, creamy, kind of heavy foods, that usually goes better with, like, the bigger wines. But that's not usually what we eat in this season. We usually eat lighter things.
Right. So. What would you recommend? So, like, grilling season is, like, my favorite thing of all time. Spending time on the roof deck or at barbecues or whatever. And granted, I usually bring a rosé, but do you have a favorite, like, just, like, grilling, kind of, like, pairs well with, like, anything you throw on the grill?
Oh, that's tough.
I feel like this would be great.
These are great. Yeah. And, like, a lot, the pepino is made to complement Chilean food. A lot of that are types of roasted meats. Maybe it's not exactly, like, the way we're grilling here, but it's quite similar.
Yeah.
And the same way we like Beaujolais
Oh, yeah.
with meats. It's the same idea. It's these, like, sort of these reds that aren't like too super fruity, but they're still like light, easy drinking. Yeah. They're, you know, like have that rustic quality. I would drink any of the reds I mentioned with that. Any rosé, and of course like champagne or cava. Like yeah. they literally go with everything. So they cleanse your palate. That's good.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going for like, if you're into like the bigger wines and it's like barbecue flavors and stuff like that, you could always do like a Syrah or Malbec and go like bigger because you're like, oh, I really want some like bigger things to kind of back some like bigger flavors.
Right.
But if it's simply grilled food, I would go with a more simple wine, so to speak.
Love it. Speaking of bubbles, another lovely thing. I mean, I drink Prosecco year round. It's kind of like just like blood flow for me at this point. But I love spring summertime because like all the bubbles.
And yeah.
It's just like so it's nice so when refreshing. It's warm out. Yeah. So I actually really like Prosecco is my favorite, bubbles, and then cava. Champagne is only my favorite if it's like bougie, nice champagne. I'm not like a big fan of like cheap champagne.
Yeah. Champagne. Oh no. Well, my issue with champagne is that it's like $10 or $40. There's like a couple of bottles that are like $20 that I'm like, like champagne.
Anything that's $10 is probably not real champagne from the Champagne region.
Right, no.
And you're technically not supposed to be able to call it that, but we know brands do.
Yeah.
Cava is actually made exactly like champagne. They use a champagne method. Right. But they're very different grapes, so they're going to express differently.
Yeah.
And also, like, champagne and cava both, depending on the producer, they set them on lees for different amounts of time, which is what gives it that like bready yeasty character.
Yeah.
It's like if it's a short amount of time, it's gonna be like more crisp, less of that. If it's a longer time, you're gonna get that like sort of like fresh baked smells of like pastries almost.
Right.
Like so it can vary like a ton.
Yeah.
But cava is sort of the more affordable champagne if you like champagne.
Yeah, it does have more, like, flavor than a Prosecco. It's
pretty expensive. Prosecco is made differently than both of them.
Yeah.
And the way it's made allows for more fruit expression, different size bubbles.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be a little different because champagne is gonna be technically more expensive because it has this, like, bottle fermentation and you're kind of paying for this, like, man-made work.
Yeah.
And the care that goes into it. But, yeah, I think cava is a great choice if you're looking for something more affordable, but you like the same texture.
Than a Prosecco.
I'm sure I had that, but I can't remember having it.
You
have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate when you go to a bar and you're like, can I have Prosecco? And they give you cheap champagne. I'm like, I wouldn't have ordered it, homie. I wanted Prosecco. Or if you order cava, same thing. I'm like, no. Bubbles are not just like a substitute interchangeably.
No.
It's different.
I love, like, when I'm in the mood for a sparkly rosé, like, that is the best thing ever. But it's always so expensive.
Yeah. So and, like,
so
rosé champagne is, like, the apex. For whatever reason, but, like, those are harder to make and very expensive. Another thing worth mentioning is that, like, champagne is made from both red and white grapes. So you get it's Pinot Noir and a few different white grapes. But cava is usually white grapes.
Interesting.
So take that for what you will. They taste different after they go through fermentation, but they're going to have, like, different, like,
quality.
Texture and body because of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, like, last but not least, let's not forget a good old spritzer.
Oh,
that's how I live my life.
Erin, like, revived my wine spritzer phase, like, two years ago at this point.
It's like how she revives my...
I forgot about wine spritzers.
Corona lights!
You
guys are really classy in the summertime.
Lights are so classy.
Here's the thing.
Summertime.
Just like I loved, Rachel brought over another Pepino that was like 9% the other day. And like
12, but that's okay.
I was like, 9%? That's like low.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So disregard what I said. Either way, I'm a relative.
It was still low.
I'm a relative lightweight. And like in my 30s, I actually really like something that has a very low ABV.
Yeah, because we could drink each a half bottle.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a session. And like you don't have to stop. And it's fine.
Someone needs to make session wine.
They really do. This is a spritzer. Thank you for jumping on board my idea train.
Yeah.
Spritzer wine with...
Seltzer.
With seltzer. Club soda, seltzer.
Are those different?
The same thing.
You know what you'd really like then?
What?
Have you ever had, and this is like a traditional Spanish drink, which I didn't realize, but like a really good sweet vermouth with a nice seltzer, a nice club soda. We were sampling it at the store because we carry them, and you put like a slice of orange in it.
Yes. Is that Aperol spritz?
No, it's like an Aperol spritz. It presents the same way, but it was just vermouth and this like nice like club soda, and it was delicious.
Was
like,
it?
I was ready to take home everything that day. I was like, this is so good. And I looked it up after because I was like, is this like a popular thing?
Right.
And apparently, like in Spain, you like have a little one of those before you take your siesta.
I think I'm Spanish.
You super might be.
Like culturally.
In my soul, I'm Spanish, says Casey.
Me too. Start the day late.
I know.
You don't have meetings for like 10 a.m.
Well, so I like to start the day early, but then like when I was in California last week, I took an afternoon nap every single day, and it was so great.
You siesta'd?
And then Richard and I got into a fight one day, and he was like, I think this happened because you didn't have your nap. And I was like, I don't think you're wrong.
I'm so jealous of people that can nap.
I don't think you're wrong.
I can nap. I can pretty much. I've been able to nap since I was like 5.
You guys, my friend Jen naps in the car every day at work.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I was like, yeah.
Could you imagine if I did that at Blue Mercury and you were like, where's Casey? And I was like, oh, BRB, I just took a snooze in my car.
I feel like
your head would actually explode.
Honestly, if it was you, I would have been like, of course she's in the car napping. Of course she is. Anybody else, I'd be like, what the fuck is this plane? Yeah. Well, anyway, so spritzers are great for me because cheap.
No, I'm so into them. I love them.
Like, I drink faster in the summertime because, like, it's hot and you can put ice in it. I used to make fun of people. I was like, this is my white woman drink, like my old white lady drink. And
it's just a way to keep hydrated. It's not a bad idea.
Into it. I would do it with like a nice drink. Wine, don't get me wrong.
You can drink. That's the other thing. It's like, it's budget friendly because you buy like a whatever, like $10 bottle of white wine or rosé, and then you just get like $2 thing of club soda. It's like budget friendly. You drink for longer. Your hangover's not as bad.
Rachel's so glad she's here with us.
I'm not that budget friendly.
That's like when we were in Miami, that's like all
we did. No, meaning we're like taking all your nice wine advice and being like, let's put some spritzers.
That's like, there's wine for spritzers.
What's that drink called? There's a drink that's like, you literally pour Coca-Cola into red wine.
Cali Mocho.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds so terrible.
It tastes a lot better than you think.
It's actually really good.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like Coca-Cola, though.
Neither do I.
But I do like wine.
You might not like it as much if you've never liked Coca-Cola.
I like Dr. Pepper.
But
do you put Dr. Pepper?
Sure.
Yeah, let's pass it up.
Sure.
It's like, all right, Dr. Pepper.
Mountain Dew.
Dr. Pepper and Captain. Whatever. It's a college drink.
You can't do the doctor and the captain.
You can.
Damn. Did you just have, like, I feel like if I had that drink, I would actually have, like, panic attacks. Every time I drank
Captain Morgan's.
Or a great night in Adams Morgan.
Every time I've ever drank Captain Morgan's, like, I am literally, like dancing on the bar, swinging from ceilings.
A great night in Adams.
Yeah, exactly. That's like exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good on the wine.
Now we're old.
Ending
we can
on
talk
that.
About like
spritzers. Yeah, moving on to skincare. Well, springtime beauty.
Springtime Tell beauty changes. It. Yeah, I mean, maybe not all people change their spring beauty routine up, but I sure do. That sounded really cheesy.
Do you like wait for spring to come?
More, Casey.
Florals for spring. Oh, dear God. Okay, I'll just like.
Do you want me to tell you mine first?
If you want. None.
Just kidding. No, I do. I was telling these guys I forget. I don't really change much, especially as my skin's gotten oilier over time. I used to have, like, for dry skin in the wintertime, I would have, like, that whole thing. But now I kind of just, like, do my gel moisturizer year-round. Mm. I did remember the one thing that I change up is my shampoo and conditioner.
Ooh.
That's, like, my first thing to change.
Interesting.
So in the winter, I use, like, a coconut, the Bumble and Bumble, like, coconut creme de coco. And it's, like, very thick and, like, super hydrating. Yeah. But then, like, right when the weather starts to change, it gets, like, very greasy.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so I switched to like a lighter. I'm actually going to try because I still have some. It's the Clarins shampoo with peony.
Mm.
It's like a natural based, like very light shampoo. So I'm going to go for that, which brings me a little bit of joy. And then also Hampton Sun Tanning Mist is my jam. If you're like really pale, and I am really pale.
I need to get on the self-tanning train. I don't do it, and I think I need to do it.
Here's the thing. You smell like a hamster for a while. You just do. You smell like a pet store. You gotta get used to it.
The other night, I washed my hair with dandruff shampoo and had my face tanner on, and I was like, Todd, just don't even look at me. Like, don't even turn to the side of the bed.
I don't even care. I'm like, there isn't a night where I don't have like literal zit stuff all over my face. Yeah. No, but Hampton Sun is pretty.
Hamster Sun.
Hamster Sun is pretty. Like, the smell is actually much better than other ones I've used, but like, it's the DT with the whatever the chemical in it is.
It smells weird. Yeah.
It smells like a hamster.
And some products have more than others. Right. And but
it works.
If it's effective, you're always gonna smell it a little. Yeah.
Right. Right. And then my final spring beauty suggestion, gently, is Botox.
Yes, girl.
My gentle, very cheap, budget-friendly.
Is it just like a needle to
beauty
your face?
Suggestion is shit.
Look, it's expensive and it might be unnecessary.
Just get an injection.
They have sales. They have seasonal sales.
Spring sales.
You can get like two syringes for the price of one.
Oh, sometimes.
Before I go summer.
BOGO Botox.
BOGO Botox, which like, look, it's unnecessary and it's expensive, but I fucking love it.
I want
it. You look great.
Thank you.
I want it right here.
It also did not hurt nearly as much as I thought it would. I was literally in the bathroom like 100 times more. Like, the day of, I was like so nervous.
Nervous sweating.
Was it worse than getting your tattoo or no?
Oh, no. I don't remember getting my tattoo.
Okay.
Okay. But no, because they put numbing cream on.
Yeah.
And it was like nothing. The worst part is you can hear the crunch of the needle go into your face skin.
Okay.
So that's like a little like off-putting. But no. And I also thought it was immediate effects. No, it takes like 3 days.
For like your muscles to freeze.
Yeah, I literally thought I was just going to be like beautiful.
And walk out of there. And
it doesn't. I didn't even remotely notice anything for 3 days. And it took up to a week to like really feel the paralysis kick in.
Okay. Wow.
Nothing happens instant, people.
No.
Even Botox.
And that's pretty instant, though.
Yeah. And then you go back for a touch-up. And then they wouldn't give me any more. They wouldn't give me any more. I asked.
I would like more, please.
So now I go back in 6 months. Hopefully they'll shoot some more up there.
Well, you look 21.
You look great.
Oh, my God. I love you guys.
Someone told me I was 25 in California, and I was like, please tell me more about how I look 25. Can you just say it over and over again?
Did you take a shot out of their engagement ring?
No. No, this was one of Richard's colleagues, because we were talking or whatever, and I was like, yeah, like, we've been together like 10 years. We met when we were 20, and he was like, you guys are 30? And I was like, how old do you think we were? And he was like, I don't know, like 25? And I was like, you thought we were only 2 years older than you?
That's so nice.
Like, I love you forever.
Remember at my bachelorette party, we were going to leave that bar, and that boy told us.
We were 22.
He thought we were 22. We stayed for like 4 more hours.
We need one more drink, please. Yeah.
We love you.
We're like barely legal.
I know. We're going to need one more drink here, everyone. Everyone sit tight. And then they were like, let's go to the parking lot and do donuts in my pickup truck. And we were like, bill, please.
I forgot about that.
We'll take the bill now. Thank you.
Oh, my God. And they tried to, like, follow us. And we were like, oh, no, we don't. No.
We're 38.
You're temporary. We're actually all bitches.
Ugh, I'm so mad I missed this.
Maybe not that part. We didn't feel great the next time.
No. Yeah. All right. I guess it's my turn.
You're up.
Spring beauty. Radio voice. One thing that I started to do since our last wine and beauty talk is I started using witch hazel.
Mm.
Which,
like a toner?
Yeah. Basically as a toner. And it, like, doesn't dry you out. It actually is, like, it just kind of, like, cleans. For me, it gets rid of, like, flaky skin, but also, like, keeps my skin from getting too congested.
Mm.
And so I just wanted to throw that out there because it's, like, I think made a pretty, like, decent difference in, like, my skin and how it feels.
It's so cheap.
It's, like, $8 for, like, a giant jug of witch hazel at your, like, supermarket, drugstore or whatever. And I just put it on, like, a cotton pad. And I normally do it just, like, after cleansing and then after I ice roll, I will
normal.
Do normal.
Oh, yeah, I love the ice roll.
Super low key and low maintenance is my skincare routine. But yeah, so I bought that and it's great and it's cheap. But as far as like my skincare routine will probably stay pretty much the same, except I will bump up my SPF.
Oh yes, how did I forget that?
Yeah.
Girl.
So I really, I don't know if anybody on here has ever listened to or follows Lauren Everts from Skinny Confidential, but she talks about this caffeinated sunscreen that I really, really want to try. I'm almost done with my current sunscreen, and as soon as that runs out, I'm going to order this caffeinated one because the way she talks about it is like, it's basically like a SPF like makeup primer all in one because the caffeinated part of it, I guess, like plumps your skin a little bit. So it's like the perfect like canvas for makeup. But yeah, so I really want to try that one. So I'll link to that one. And then the other thing that I do with like beauty is just like I start using like more like orangey reds and like corals in my routine. So like that's like nail polish, like blush, lipstick.
I'm digging the coral right now.
Yeah, like I have
love that.
My three favorite nail polish colors for spring, and then like even into summer, but normally in the summer I go to like even like brighter, more fun shades, but I like Smith & Colt Psycho Candy, Essie's Too Hot, and OPI's Red My Fortune Cookie are like my favorite bright orangey corally reds for spring.
Nice. What do you use for that, like a coral lip? I'm kind of wanting a
coral. What's the coral lip?
I'm wearing more true red than coral, so I'm going to see what Kiki
says. I think I have to look up the color, but I use one from Drew Barrymore's line, Flower Beauty. I love her lipsticks. Really? And they're so cheap. They're at Walmart. Yeah. Oh. But like I'm like an obsessive like lipstick putter on her, so like I don't
never left without it.
Yeah, so I always have it on me. And then I love MAC's Lady Danger is the best orange red.
Is that what you read her in your profess shoot that I like commented on Facebook?
Yes, Lady Danger. So
also, so you know, you can buy like MAC minis in almost all of their colors. Oh. I'm like, I think it's
really
Nordstrom. Oh. Bloomingdale's or Nordstrom. Check. Oh, nice. Because like instead of committing to like a full, they have like minis in a lot of their colors. So you can just for $10.
I'm gonna look that up right now.
Nordstrom? And then what's the NARS one? Heatwave. That's also a really great like bright orangey. Like almost, it's almost like a neon red.
The one I use from, which I was gonna mention, but from NARS. The sticks, you know, red square is like an orangey red. I wouldn't say it's coral, but it is like super bright red that leans orange because those I think just look better with my skin.
Yeah.
And I really only wear it when it's spring or summer. Like it's not a winter color for me. It's too bright. But when I do wear it, I wear just that with mascara and it's like literally makes you look like you're alive.
I know.
It can like change your whole look.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful lip color. I love it.
There's a pink that I love. And I can't remember what it, I want to say it's Shiseido, but maybe it's not. I have to look at my bag, but it's like a very like mod 60s pale, like
those are fun
pink. That's like,
I'm still waiting for somebody to respond to my pink ginger cry for help. No one's responded to us.
You need like a ginger beauty column.
I think I'm going to try to find one. I need something to like, Kara, because Kara, who we did our mentoring session with.
Yeah. She has the same problem. Yes.
Our lips are like just skin colored. So nothing, they look like dead people before you put a lip on. And then it never stays on.
It doesn't stay on the same way?
It just, well, when you are starting with a lighter base color anyway.
Look at how weird this sediment is.
I know, mine too.
It's crazy. It's like long
strands of yeast.
It's like long strands.
Horrible. Well, that's what makes it taste so good.
I'm not mature enough right now for it.
It could actually be like pieces of the barrel. If you think about it.
That's fancy.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so what should we choose next for our one?
Oh, yeah. Rachel, tell Rachel. Us about.
Tell us about my wines I have here.
Erin just brought out 5 bottles of wine.
I like options.
One of them is Veuve, which I think might be a little much.
I have like 6 bottles of Veuve. It's fine.
That's a problem.
People like to give it to us.
What a problem you have.
Take it home.
It's from like wedding season.
So we have an Argentinian Chardonnay. Hey, good for you.
Yeah,
South America. We have Pinots from both Burgundy and California.
These are my wine cups.
And a Côte de Rome. So this is like a big variety.
You do have a big variety. I don't know if we want to
tell us about all of them.
Oh my gosh.
Right now. Quiz time.
Pass.
Well, what's a Chard from Argentina going to be like?
Is this an Argentinian Chardonnay?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, Mendoza.
Let's see if it has any listing of the characteristics in the back of the bottles. So, with its pebble-covered soils and extreme cool nights, high elevation in the foothills Andes Mountains, it's deeply aromatic with expressive citrus fruit and rich mineral notes. So mineral I think what honey. You're going to find is the minerality
okay.
on here that you might not find in typical shards.
Right. Definitely not buttery though.
It doesn't say if it's malolactic fermentation. That's what gives it, you know, that buttery
plus
oak. It doesn't say if it has it. So it's kind of one of those things where you taste it and you know right away.
Right.
You know, you taste it, you know, is it a little more crisp
right.
or does it have that like
right.
bitterness? This is one way to find out.
Taste-a-roozles. Do you want a white or a red?
You guys can choose.
Let's do a white.
Okay.
We're doing springtime.
There we go. Springtime whites. So while we're, you know, popping that cork at that last bottle, I can talk about just a few of my spring transitions.
Yes, I would love that.
So besides that fun red lipstick I mentioned, another, I typically wear when I get tanner, which I hope I do soon.
Okay, Rachel gets so fucking tan though, so yes, you will get tanner soon.
I find myself wear less makeup in summer because like my black eyeliners and the dark brown eyeliners, they just don't look as good when your skin is darker. Like I find you need like sort of brightness.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I love is this, and you know, I love color, but I have this one eyeliner by Lancome. It's their Drama liquid pencil line,
okay.
and they make a really like shiny purple. And you're gonna hear this, and you're gonna be like, "That's ridiculous!" But you guys have seen me wear it. I line the the waterline underneath my eye, and I love that. With just like some black mascara, and I swear to God, it like makes you look awake. It's like a surprising thing. Like people are always like, they catch you in the light, and like, "Oh my God, your eyeliner's purple!"
Yeah.
But it's really like it doesn't look like you're wearing a lot of makeup at all. So I do this a lot for work, where I just do that and some like rosy blush and like that's my look for the day, and it lasts like all day. It's a very good eyeliner.
I love that.
So that's like definitely one of my favorites.
I have a question. Do either of you know? I would like to try, because I use that like copper colored liner, but I would like to try like more of like an actual like almost sparkly like gold situation.
Oh, Chanel makes a really cool like, it's like a gold. It has like a little bit of like olivey, but
ooh.
It's like, I forget what it's called, but I've tried it before and it's beautiful.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that. Makeup Forever has really great eyeliners.
Oh, really?
And they definitely have like some bronzy, coppery, gold ones.
Okay.
So just like play around.
Yeah.
My two favorite eyeliners typically are Makeup Forever and Urban Decay.
Okay.
Ooh, Urban Decay, yes.
They're 24-hour, like long-lasting. Mm-hmm. Both of those are
so
super
good
quality, and they make like really nice pigments. So like,
yeah,
check to see if any look good with your skin from those two. And then speaking of tan,
there's
this product I've been using. I'm gonna say 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
I think it might be when it came out.
It's like
out.
The beginning of tanning.
yeah, right. So it's by Clarins.
Ooh, okay.
Oh yeah.
And it's called like Radiance Plus Golden Glow Booster. Really long name. It's a really simple product. It's literally like this little liquid sort of serum where you just like pour 2 to 3 drops into whatever moisturizer, night, morning, whatever you're doing.
What?
Mix it in. It does make it liquidy, so you can mix it in. You rub it on your whole face, and literally you look like that gradual glowy tan. So you do it for like a few days, and then if you feel like you're getting too tan, you're just like, don't do it today. Keep coming back to it. Put it on this. I've been wearing it for like 5 days. I don't know if you guys can tell.
You're so
tan. I was gonna ask.
I'm looking like a
yeah.
Have some like just like natural glow, cool. Not like super tan booth
right.
tanning.
Clarins constantly, their self tanning stuff is like wins all the awards. Like Into the Gloss,
yeah.
They've got like 4 products that
totally.
Loves Clarins.
Yeah, and this thing I want to say it's like $34.
That's not
dollars, but and it's this little bottle, but you
it
use such
last.
A small amount. Like I think I had one for like 6 years. Like I think I had like one of my original ones that I recently threw out, and I'm like, this is no longer good.
Yeah.
And because it smelled really bad too, so you knew it turned.
Hamsters.
So we talked about the smell of tanning products earlier. This one, it has a little bit, but I have to tell you, when you mix it with your moisturizer and put it on your face, it dissipates in a few minutes.
Do you do it in at the morning is what I was going to say. Do you do it in the morning or at night?
So when I really feel like when I'm first getting started, I'll do it both. So I'll be
okay.
able to get like a nice like face going.
Wait, you go to work smelling like that?
It doesn't, I'm telling you, I've been wearing it all day. It dissipates like after 3 minutes.
I believe though that Clarins is like, because they're like, they're not messing around.
And if you don't want to go to work smelling like that, you put in your nighttime cream. It's like masterful. So I do it both, and then when I think like, oh, I have like a nice glow, I don't need that much, I just do it at night.
And then what do you do for like your body, or do you not do your?
My favorite for body for a long time has been the Lancome Flash Bronzer, which was like, it was originally marketed for like legs. It was like a legs bronzer, but you can actually use it everywhere. Mm. And it's like a lotion. It's not like a foam or spray and forget. So it's like a lotion that you have to rub in, and you know, you have to like make sure you exfoliate before like any other.
And it's self tan. It's not like gradual tan. Like
that's self tan. Okay. So like I haven't done that yet. I'm gonna do that like 2 days before I leave for Florida.
Okay.
Wait, what? I thought self tanners are gradual tanners.
Some are like more buildable than others. Yeah. Some are like very like light.
Because
like,
then there's the immediate tanner where it's not gradual at all and it will wash off. Well, like the Laguna, like the NARS like Laguna.
That's an extreme version.
Right, right.
It's like we're body talking makeup. About like you put a lotion it's on. Like
slightly gradual.
The next morning, you're going to be pretty tan, like a different shade.
I guess us super pale people don't do that.
I really want to try the, because I love the Jergens like in shower moisturizer, and now they make a Jergens in shower tan. Mm-hmm. I mean, Saint-Tropez made like they the first one. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna tell you a secret. When we worked at Blue Mercury and I went into one of our stores, one of our staff members said that she really didn't think it was effective, that in the Saint-Tropez one.
Okay. See, I've heard from Birchbox people that they love it.
Okay, we gotta try
it. The war is on. We gotta try it. You guys, let's all try the same self-tan and see who gets the most tan.
It just sounds so easy to just like rub it in while you shower and be done. Because that's, like, what the in-shower lotion...
You know what I hope it's not like? Those in-shower lotions that, like, are basically a death trap. What? Have you ever tried to step out of your shower after using one of those in-shower moisturizers?
Like, slippery?
Oh, my God. It's, like, an oil
slick. Do you have a shower with you?
Wait, do you, like, do it on your feet? Because I use it all the time.
No, I don't put it on my feet.
Then,
do you have a shower mat?
You slip?
No, there's, like, fake rocks at the bottom, you know.
You need
fake stones.
Rachel's like, really?
It's like a spa shower. My shower.
No, I've never had that experience.
I thought you meant, you slip in the shower. I thought you meant when you're getting out of the shower.
Yeah, you know, it makes the ground slippery because it's washing off of you, and it's just very slick. Like, it's...
I've never had that, but I have, like, a baby's bottom.
I have
a regular bath shower with a rubber mat,
Okay. So...
I don't have a spa shower.
If we do in shower tanners.
But I love
it. Have a rubber mat.
You like, it's just so easy. Because I used to do, in high school, I used to do baby oil in the shower. And then, so you like do soap and then you do baby oil. And it's just like, you don't have to put lotion on afterwards. Because my skin is so dry.
Very Jersey. And then you like but sat then, in the sun.
Then you just like, well, you put baby oil on and then you rinse it off. Because like oil and water, right? And then you just like... basically like dab off and your skin's like moisturized and it's not like you have to like do the lotion thing.
You could probably do the same now with coconut oil if you're looking for a similar effect.
Maybe
you won't rub off the same way though.
I used to use coconut oil to just like take my makeup off, and then I got it gave me like eczema on my eyelids.
Okay,
you're
sensitive.
Excuse her.
Pepper.
Get out of his face, Pepper. Come here.
But yeah, I'm curious about the self tanning. Just because it sounds so easy to do it in the shower and not have to like make it a whole thing.
We
you know
should
what
try
I mean?
It and report back because I've never used it.
Yeah.
And it does seem like less work because it is like the reason it's so easy to face tan is like I rub it in my shirt or put it on.
Yeah.
It's literally 30 seconds. Like with the body is like you have to make sure you're.
And you have to like stand there naked. You have to 10 minutes.
You have to air dry like awkwardly.
You don't want to be aroused.
Yeah.
Casey.
Somebody has to do your back.
Oh, I can get my own back because I'm weirdly double jointed.
I just have weird double jointed arms.
I can like hold my hands behind my back. It's weird.
Casey, do you know that in Miami I used self tanner for like a week beforehand?
No.
You couldn't tell?
I honestly don't know if you're lying or not. Did you really?
No, I for sure did. I thought I looked fucking good.
I looked so tan. I fit in here. I did not, but I was super pale.
That was like right when I got Pepper, and she kept trying to like lick it off me. I'm like, no, you'll die, you'll die. Right.
You'll die.
You're also going to smell like a hamster.
Oh, the things we do.
Do you like this wine?
I like this a lot.
It's got the...
Let's talk about it.
Malia.
It's got... Yeah, it's buttery. But it's also oaky. No?
Here's a question. Aren't buttery and oaky the same?
No, we reviewed that last time.
No, and it's a little confusing because...
I'll just take myself out.
Even if it had like the malolactic fermentation and they gave
it that
creamy, buttery feel,
The
oak imparts some similar flavors. So sometimes like it's been one or the other and it's a little hard to tell.
Yeah, I find that generally I probably consider a buttery one this also oaky.
Me too. I totally used to do that too, but now I know that it's... Like, when I was in California, I was like, I remember Rachel told me that oaky doesn't mean buttery, so I asked very specifically for a buttery Chardonnay and not an oaky one. This is really good because it's, like, citrusy, buttery, and oaky, but it also has, like, a little bit of, like, a fizz happening, too.
Yeah. Microfizz. I think you had stepped away when we were talking about what makes this different, because we read the back of the bottle. and... Because of that climate or where the soil is in Argentina, it can have a little minerality
this is from my wine club. This is like a $20 bottle.
It's really good.
Which is pretty average for my wine clubs, which are pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like...
How would this compare for you to like a Chardonnay you get from California?
Oh, like my...
Lexicon.
Yeah, you love your Lexicon.
I do. It's so buttery.
How does it compare?
This is like probably... I feel like this is the most well-balanced Chardonnay I've ever had.
I love it.
It's bold.
It's not... the Rombauer one is darker. And it's, I think, just bigger. But very similar flavors.
I don't know if I've had Rombauer.
Have you known me for a while?
I think I have had it. You're right.
You get me like a bottle of wine in, I will buy it hands down. Takes me a little while, but I will.
Yeah, this to me tastes like lighter than some of the buttery ones.
Yeah,
I'm actually not sure if it has malolactic. Definitely an oak. But I'm not sure. And it's one of those things where like I'm still learning, like we're all still learning.
Wait, think
I would look it up to check.
Is this un-oaked?
No, it's definitely oaked.
Okay, got it.
But it doesn't have like a creaminess to it.
No.
It doesn't have like that bread. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's vanilla. And vanilla's oak to me.
I would
look it up and check. Is vanilla always means oak? But like buttery bread, like yeasty, that like all those like baking things. Those are more of the fermentation side.
Do you want me to read you the tasting notes?
Yeah. Or we can check after. No. For all your listeners who are probably like, I wish I was drinking wine right now.
That's the
point.
You should be drinking with us. Shame on you if you're not. So here's... How are we on the beauty thing? Are we back on wine or are we still on beauty?
I think we wrapped.
We mentioned a few. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's my final question
for you. It has to do with wine. Do you watch The Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I watch no Housewives. Except I used to watch Desperate Housewives, which was a great
show. Oh my god,
Was that the best show ever?
My dad even liked that show.
I love that show.
I used to watch it with my mom, and that show was not what a lot of people think it was who didn't watch. They thought it was just like a lady sitcom.
Yeah, no, it was drama.
But it was dark
humor. That makes me mad that people thought that.
It was like dark humor and like making fun of those types of shows.
Oh my gosh.
They were murdering people and
and also just like real life dark twisted shit that goes down. Like I feel like Brie had so many internal struggles.
Yeah, like what's hidden behind these like perfect,
Gabriella.
These perfect housewives on a perfect street. Like
it was so good.
So fun.
I think I cried at the series finale. I was so sad.
I think
sad.
I did too. But to answer your question, I unfortunately don't watch any of the Real Housewives, which super isolates me from most conversations in life.
Okay, so here's one you're going to be isolated from. No, I'm kidding. As you mentioned Desperate Housewives, it reminds me of Michael Bolton because Nicolette Sheridan dated Michael Bolton. So I just Google Wikipedia.
Literally, I look over at Erin's computer and she has Michael Bolton's Wikipedia up. Wait, didn't we say we were going to do pull up your last Google?
Oh my god, that's my favorite.
Wait, let's see.
Okay, everybody. Wait, this is why I brought up Housewives.
I'm scared for mine.
I'm sorry,
Dorit.
It's boring. Beverly Hills is very bratty about like if you serve her the wrong wine in the wrong glass. How do you feel about that?
If you what?
She gets very bratty about like if you serve her the wrong wine in the wrong glass.
Don't feel strongly about it. Look, if you are at, like, an event where you're supposed to be tasting, they serve you in, like, tasting special glasses so you can, like, smell it better.
Right.
Cool. That's helpful for learning.
Right.
If you were having, like, the largest red wine you've ever had, it should probably, like, have room to breathe. But, like, after that moment, like, it's basically, like, as long as it's
you're not going to be like, my white wine is in a red wine.
No, and I'm sure people feel differently, and I'm sure people have, like, different sets. Mm-hmm. I just think if that's a big enough bowl to let it breathe and, like, narrows a little bit towards the top, it's, like, it lets you get the aroma just big enough. Okay.
Sounds like she's just trying to be stash.
She is. I like using my glasses.
And stuff do have strong opinions about that. Right. Like, people who, like, are, you know, way more knowledgeable and way more invested in the industry. Like, mine is, like, a hobby. Right. When it's, your life work, you probably care more about the glass you're serving it in.
Yeah, but I feel like you care more about the glass that you pour it in versus the glass that you get. Because, like, I feel like when you are at that level of expertise, you understand most of the time, maybe, maybe not, that most people don't have your expertise, so they wouldn't know enough to be like, excuse me.
Yeah, like a typical, like, patron
at a restaurant.
Also a Bravo, they probably wouldn't be able to pick up the nuance unless they were, like, also equally educated.
Do you think that they fed her that? Like, can you please find a way to be difficult at dinner tonight? Or that's actually who she is as a human.
I think she's actually like that. Okay, let's do our most recent searches. But let me...
Mine's so boring.
Let me read you my my favorite piece of text I read today. Bolton was introduced to Nicolette Sharon in 1992 by saxophonist Kenny G.
What?
It makes sense that the two of them were friends. So.
If you don't know who Kenny G is, you should probably stop listening to this podcast.
No. I mean, like, so many
You're childhood. Too young for us. You're too young.
Yeah. Kenny G.
Oh my God, so good.
That is insane.
What was yours?
Mine was parking garages in Georgetown.
Because we were at that light for too long.
Oh my God.
Told you I would get parking.
What's yours? Equally boring. Mine's cheapair.com, which is a 2018 airfare study on the best time to buy a flight.
You're so good. You
adulting
so
hard.
My boyfriend sent this to me, and it turns out that their chart shows like the
Tuesdays?
Prime time, and it's between 21 and 121 days before your trip.
That's fucking helpful.
That is a huge time span. And then it says like optimal time with 70 days. And I'm like, if I could ever get this guy to commit 70 days out, like, I'm already winning. Forget the price of the flight.
Yeah. So true. When we're still trying to book our freaking honeymoon. And I, like, emailed this lady today, like, we want to go on a safari in Botswana. And she was like, in July. And she's like, most people book these 8 to 16 months in advance. I was like, okay. So maybe we'll, like,
go next year.
Anniversary?
I think you need to find a new travel agent.
I know, we will. Yeah. Okay, when traveling, it's terrible.
She sounds sucky.
Is she a travel agent? It's very
retro. No, she's not an agent. There's this organization called And Beyond. It's like luxury safaris
whatever. Yes. Okay.
So that's what Chris would like to do, as Chris does.
Christopher.
Totally do safaris luxury style.
I mean, it looks really swank, so I'm going to say no. Because I know that swanky safari.
Yeah, you definitely want to do when you do safari. You definitely want to be like fancy as fuck because it can get like,
I mean, it just,
real,
like, looks so fucking draining.
You guys sound
just watch out for the scorpions
right now.
Just watch out for the scorpions, okay?
Okay. Oh my God.
I've already got my safari outfits planned.
You know that
there
was a Scorpio in our room.
You are so dramatic. It was
ask Richard. He admits that it was a Scorpio.
Yeah, but this is gonna be Richard's story. Oh, I found a Scorpio in my room and I crushed it with my little hand, and then we went on and I killed an antelope with the same hand. Like,
yeah,
Richard's
he
time.
Did. He killed
Richard's
it.
Time.
The antelope?
No, this is what happened. So it was our first fight ever as a couple.
On a safari.
We've been dating for like a year, and it was like our first, because we did long distance for like a year. And so it was our first ever like big in-person like fight. because I saw the scorpion and I was like, that's a fucking scorpion. I'm not sleeping tonight. What the fuck is happening? And he was like, it was a beetle. Whatever. We wake up the next morning and I look at him, I'm like, that was a scorpion. He was like, yeah, it was a scorpion, but I killed it. Then we go to our, you like when you go to safari, you get assigned to like a ranger. So our ranger, I was like, Ranger Dale.
Was he hot?
No, he was like really super.
Safari boys.
You probably will, because that's just like who you are as a person. No, Dale was like super nerdy, and I was like, Ranger Dale.
Ranger Dale.
Let me tell you about this bug that was in our room, and he was like, oh yeah, that's one of the most poisonous scorpions in the region. The smaller the scorpion, the worse it is. I was like, okay, great.
That's you. Right. We pack a small.
And then I looked at Richard, and I was like, I was
small
right.
Small people.
I was right.
Yeah. And with that, bye.
And I will never go on safari ever. Later.
You can go with us.
I live. Later. It's fine.
You know, Chris is going to outsource somebody to swipe the tent, like sweep
tent. We have a bug cleaner.
We have a bug cleaner.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry. We're going to do this real right. You guys, thank you so
happy
much
honey.
For joining us for Wine and Beauty with Rachie.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. We love you.
We love you. Leave us an iTunes review if you
Bye.
Still like us.
Hate me.